Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
Lloyd, come on, man.
Lloyd, have you finished cleaning your room yet?
Working on it, Mom.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons podcast, where today I watched Lloyd in Space with my friend Omar Romolino. Omar uses she, her pronouns. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she, her. And I'm here if you need to talk.
Yes! Superlative!
I was worried, Lloyd.
You were asking me about how I found this show. This was one of the few cartoons on this podcast that I actually watched as a kid. Lloyd in Space, I watched a lot of as a kid. I've seen a lot of these episodes for sure.
Oh.
Yeah. I liked it as a kid. It had a lasting impression on me. I remembered a few episodes. The one that we're going to be talking about today, Neither Boy Nor Girl, was crazy. It was just crazy. We'll talk about it in a bit. But one of the episodes that stuck with me for a really, really long time, and I only just rewatched it for the first time, was an episode where, you know, his friends, Kurt and Douglas, the little brain boy and the big Patrick motherfucker.
Yeah.
An episode where the brain kid jumps on the other one's head and then they like form like a symbiotic relationship. And the little brain boy, yeah, controls his mind, and they work together to like beat the school bully. And then they have like they start like melding together so that like the brain boy is literally just like taking over his body. And I'm like, wow. What? Are these the good guys?
I never watched a lot of Disney Channel cartoons when I was a kid, because whenever I went on the Disney Channel, like, it was never cartoons on. So, like, I didn't spend a lot of time on it. Like, it'd be, like, Zack and Cody or Hannah Montana or whatever, you know?
Right.
And I'd be like, I don't want live action. I want those funny little pictures what move around.
Well, and I think that when I was watching cartoons when I was a kid, it was not yet segmented, because now they have like Disney Channel and then Disney XD.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still the way it is, because I haven't had cable in 5 or 6 years anyway.
I don't know either.
So then you knew where to find the animation. When I was a kid and I watched this show on Disney Channel, it was like this show, Dave the Barbarian, and what, like, Lilo and Stitch the series. Like, everything that I watched as a kid was such fucking garbage.
And that's how we got to where we are.
Yeah, and I would watch, like, reruns of 90s cartoons and reruns of cartoons from the 60s. And everything on Cartoon Network at the time was great, but everything on Disney Channel in the early 2000s was just, like, flushed down the fucking toilet. This is no good.
So do you want to talk about Neither Boy Nor Girl, the episode of this show about a funny little green man?
Let's do that at the end. Why don't you tell me about the episodes that you watched that I didn't watch? Because we both watched a few of them.
All right. So I watched two other episodes. The first one I watched was weird. I don't know what the message was.
That's weird with this show in particular, because this show kind of drives home the message whether or not it's earned it every single time.
So, like, Lloyd, his little sister has, like, psychic powers, I guess, and neither of the other episodes I watched was that brought up at all, so she just started moving things with this big, gross vein on her forehead.
Right, you see it for a moment in the intro, though. It's sort of foreshadowed for you, the audience.
So she's just, like, using her, it's his younger sister, and she's using her power to just kind of, like, torment him and prank him. But, like, none of it ever feels, like, super malicious. Like, it feels very much like a kid who just wants to have, like, fun and just wants attention from her older brother. But then Lloyd is like, oh, I hate my sister. She fucking sucks. Ah. So she gets sick after Lloyd spent his birthday again wishing that she wouldn't have any psychic powers.
I think I remember this. Does she lose her powers?
Yeah, she loses her powers.
Okay.
And then they go to the doctor and she's like, oh, it'll be back in a day. And right. Then Lloyd spends the day being just the worst to her.
He's oh,
like,
no. Oh,
finally, my time for revenge. And oh. Like, she's literally like
5 years old.
The way they explain it in the show is it's as if she lost like use of her arms. Like it's like a important facet of her everyday life that now right. She's no longer able to use and she doesn't know how to cope with it. And then Lloyd is like, I will trick her into having a terrible time. And so like he's teaching her how to tie her shoes with her arms because she doesn't know because she's always used her psychic powers. And he goes through this story and she ends up tying her laces together and falling on her face. And like the whole time though, he's never like, haha, I tricked you. He's like gaslighting her about
right.
it, where he's like, oh, I guess you just suck with your arms. I don't know. Like, oh, it's okay. You'll get it. Wink, nudge.
Well, I think that comes to a point of the characters in this show are all just complete fucking sociopaths.
Yeah.
Every single situation they get where they have any modicum of power, they will take it overboard.
Yeah, the most fucked up one was like, he's like, oh, you should practice pouring your own juice, and hands her a pitcher. But before he hands it, he like rubs butter on the handle. So she like goes to grab it and then like drops it and spills everywhere. And then he gets right. like mad at her. And I'm like,
holy shit.
I was like, yo, what the fuck? Relax. You're doing this.
Yeah, he's a fucking supervillain. If he had an invisible man costume, that it would be that movie.
Yeah. So then because he like pretty much ran her amok and she wasn't able to rest, she doesn't get her psychic powers at the end of the illness. Like she doesn't get them back. And
right.
at first I thought it was she was tricking him to make him feel guilty. So then he's like, oh, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. But he like kind of feels bad and then like teaches her how to actually tie her shoes. But at no point is he like, oh, I shouldn't have done those things.
He's yeah.
Like, he's like, well, I guess she's like this. I should actually try to help her. And then then she gets her psychic powers back and the episode ends. And
okay.
It's like,
all
right. And I thought it was, I legitimately thought it was going to be her putting on an act like, oh no, now I've lost my psychic powers forever because you were such a jerk to me. I feel guilty because you've ruined my life.
Right.
But like that never came up. And it wasn't like a, oh, don't be mean to your sister, because it ends with like she gets it back and then his mom is like, oh, she got her powers back. Isn't that great? And he's like, I guess. And then the episode ends. <I'm> like...
well, yeah, that's the thing, too, is that like every single episode of this show is like I was saying, like they get some upper hand on somebody. They decide to be complete fucking dicks about it, Lloyd and all of his friends. And then at the end of every single episode, they like, the show thinks that they learned their lesson when they have not. And most of the time, it's a lesson that's rooted in like extreme like sexism, just fucking weird, weird, weird. I don't know, like ousting people for being different, even though they themselves are the nerds. And so they have like this fucked up like victim complex.
Yeah, the victim complex was huge. And I watched the episode where they were like doing time travel to become popular.
Okay.
And that one was weird, but kind of like, I feel like it said a lot about Lloyd as a character that the show didn't want to say, because essentially like there's a new kid, he makes a really good first impression.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you just have to make a better first impression. So Douglas is his name, the brain.
Yeah.
They don't say each other's names ever in that show.
Can I make a guess, having not seen this episode?
Okay.
Douglas invents something that allows them to time travel, and then they say, hey, we should use this for our own good, and then he says, no, and then they just talk him into doing it anyway, right?
No, only Lloyd goes back in time.
Okay.
Just him by himself. And it's because he fixes the incident in the first grade when he was the new kid that made him unpopular for life. He fixes it.
Pooped his pants or something.
Yeah. And then he a kid trips him and he ruins a painting or I don't know. He does a funny fall and it ruined his life forever.
Great. <you know? laughs> Good stuff.
But he goes back and tells his younger self, he says, hey, watch out for that guy. He's going to try to trip you. So he doesn't fall and he goes back to the future. It's one of those things where it's like he time traveled, but he doesn't have any memory of the altered timeline.
Sure.
So he doesn't know what's different. And apparently, he turned into, this, alpha Chad jock bully fucking... He's got, 13 girlfriends his old friends hate him.
Is Lloyd in space totally jacked? Is he a fucking alpha girl?
No, but...
I wanted to see him just, do a flex and break his shirt.
See, that's
or
what
something.
I thought it would be. That's how everybody, started talking about him. Because everyone was, afraid of him. And they're, what's his... The big purple guy is, the...
Douglas.
No,
that's Kurt. That's Kurt.
Yeah. They describe him as the school horse. So because Lloyd was never his friend, everyone just uses him as a mount to ride him, from class to class.
That's fucking horrifying. The existential terror of this fucking show.
And I don't know, not a lot happens. He finds out that if he was popular and left to his own devices, he becomes a huge asshole to everybody.
But not like an asshole like he is in the show. Like a different kind of asshole that's maybe a little
specifically
different.
The problem is that he is... It's never that he's perceived as mean or threatening or anything. It's that his friends from the other timeline no longer like him because he was mean to them. He doesn't care about anyone else because why would he?
Right, exactly.
But he's like, oh, all my friends hate me now. This sucks. So he tries to go back to the past. And for whatever reason, because they have a bit, you got to make you have to make him messing up going back to the past funny. So he puts in the wrong timeline and oops, he gets captured by the Confederacy. It's the Civil War in America.
Oh, wait, that really happens?
Yeah. And I was like,
what?
How did we get here? But he's only in there for a little bit and he's like, oops, I went to prehistoric times. And then he goes back and then he fixes it. And then the episode ends, there's two Lloyds, because he goes back to stop the Lloyd from stopping baby Lloyd. So now there's two Lloyds, and they're like, what do we do about these two Lloyds? And then future Douglas comes in, a wrinkly old brain, and he's like, don't worry, guys, I got this. And he vaporizes one of the Lloyds. He's gone now forever. And then the episode ends.
That's so fucking beautiful. I love that he goes back to the Civil War and gets captured by the Confederacy. I did not expect them to ever go to Earth in this show. So that's
they
a fucking
once.
Turn. Yeah.
they did at least once, and it was the Civil War.
Wow.
I was so, it was so jarring, because I just thought he was going to, he goes back to when he's a baby or something.
Right.
You can't talk to a baby, but, no.
That's very funny.
What were your episodes? What did you watch?
I watched a bunch of them. Some of them were just completely boring. There was an episode where he changes bodies with his sister, and it's just completely, it's nothing at all. There's nothing to talk about with that one. The two worst episodes that I watched, morally, I guess, even aside from the one that we're going to be talking about, which is also morally repugnant, one of them was called Love Beam Number 9. It was a love potion kind of episode, and it's Douglas develops a ray that allows him to make people fall in love with each other. And so, of course, all these little fucking psychopaths decide to take it to school and just randomly, zap people that should not be in love with each other and make them fall in love with each other. They're just the school baby, the school bully. Let's make him, fall in love with
baby.
The nerd. Yeah, I misspoke. Listen, I rarely misspeak, so give me a fucking pass here. I've done 200 episodes of this show or whatever.
I don't know. They might have had a school baby.
They should have had a school baby.
Considering the three episodes I watch, if they just had a baby that the school was in charge of.
So yeah, they go around just randomly zapping people. So they accidentally zap Brittany, the mean girl in school that hates Lloyd.
Is she the blue one?
Yeah, she's the blue one with the hair.
Okay. Yeah.
So Brittany falls in love with Lloyd, and it's like she's like obsessed with him, and they're like, well, we fixed the machine. We can turn her back to normal. And Lloyd is like, wait a minute. What if we didn't turn her back to... What if we just let her stay in love with me forever?
No.
The entire episode is about him being... It's like about Lloyd's feelings always, right? So Lloyd is completely embarrassed because Brittany, like, wrote a musical for him and is proposing her love to him constantly and set up a float that goes by.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, so it's so fucking embarrassing for you, Lloyd, not for Brittany in this situation who doesn't like you... And is doing all of these things. Cool.
Who okay. has been tricked into liking you.
Yeah, brainwashed. Fucking gross. So the moral at the end of the episode, though, is like, well, actually, Brittany kind of had a crush on him before everything happened. And so it's okay that he did this to her. And then, like, she doesn't want to be turned back. She's like, I don't want to be turned back. I like being this way. And he's like, see, guys, she doesn't want to be turned back. She's in love with me. And they're like, bro, you need to, they like chase him through the hallways. And he's like running away with this girl. He's like, you can't turn her back. You can't turn her back.
What?
Yeah. So the moral at the end of the episode is like, he's like, well, I guess I should turn her back. When she decides that she wants to tell me she's in love with me, she'll tell me. And then he turns her back. And Douglas, his little brain friend, is like, you know, Lloyd, I think that was the most noble act you've ever done. And I'm like, noble in what fucking universe that he didn't like.
That's so scummy. Oh my God.
It's disgusting. He's fucking morally reprehensible, this boy. This show is written by sociopaths.
Oh my God. The fact, like, it was a normal, like, by the numbers Cupid yeah. arrow episode.
Which can also be disgusting.
Until it got to the point where he was like,
morally justified, right?
He was like, yeah,
this.
he was like, actually, she likes me. And it's like, yeah, because you brainwashed her to like you. And it's like, no.
Right. Well,
she likes me now.
So the way that they do it is they're like, see, he liked her when he was 5 and he wrote on a tree like Lloyd plus Brittany equals love. And then she saw it and she also wrote Brittany loves Lloyd too, and then drew a picture of them holding hands. And so Lloyd is like, see, she does love me, and she wasn't allowed to say anything about it because she was embarrassed, but now that she's been hit by the ray, she can express her true feelings. And it's like, if she was expressing her true feelings, she wouldn't have written a musical for you. She wouldn't have hired a fucking mariachi band to follow you around. She literally makes a zine that's like, here's what he ate for lunch. And I'm like, bro, you're disgusting. Fuck you.
Releasing this girl from mind slavery was the noblest thing you've ever done.
So that
mind
was
you
up.
You put her in it, but that's fine. God.
The other episode, which is also just a horrible from a perspective of like these kids are fucking dicks, was called The Big Sleepover. And in The Big Sleepover, the girls are having like a secret sleepover and the boys are mad because they weren't invited. And they're literally like, the girls didn't invite us to our sleepover. This is discrimination. No boys allowed. All right.
Yeah.
Cool guys.
I feel like that was like a type of episode that was in. I think there was at least in Kids Next Door, I think there was an episode that followed the same like pathing of like, what's a girl sleepover?
Right. I think every episode of this show is a TV trope, right? Like every single episode is something that's been done before, but they did it in their own way and made it creepy.
Yeah, they were like, hey, what if we were, like, sociopathic about this?
Yeah, the aliens are morally ambiguous, you know?
Isn't that one guy just a human? His one friend, like, Scooter or whatever?
Yeah, Eddie. Yeah, Eddie is a human being. So the boys develop a little, or Douglas, should I say. The boys don't fucking do anything. He does all the work. He makes a little fly with a camera on it, a little robot fly. And he's like, we can use this little robot fly to see what the girls are doing when the boys aren't around. His mom breaks the fly, but the camera still works, so it can't fly. And they're like, one of us needs to sneak into the party and plant this so that we can still see what they're doing. So, of course, they draw straws. Lloyd is the one who has to go to the party. He gets, like, almost found out, so he hides in her closet. He dresses up like a girl and ingratiates himself to the girls and, like, pretends like he's the new girl at school. And he still has the camera so the boys can see everything that he's doing. And they're just like egging him on, like, get information, get in, see what this girl likes, see what this girl, who this girl thinks is cute. And it's very creepy and a big time invasion of privacy.
Classic.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that Lloyd Nebulon has passing privilege, that like he dresses up in Britney's clothes and he goes downstairs and everybody's like, hey, new girl, I have that same dress.
Hey, new girl with face of a guy I know.
Yeah, and it was a situation where he was like, hey, guys, girl voice. Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm the new girl. And you're like, oh, boy, Lloyd. Fuck off.
Jesus Christ.
And so then they play Spin the Bottle, and he gets a bunch of more information, and the guys are all watching in on all this stuff. The girls find out about him because he, like, gets up to leave. He takes off his wig, and then he hears somebody saying that they have a crush on him. And so he goes back into the party and he's like, hey guys, I have a crush on Lloyd too. Lloyd's really cute and I think he's the coolest guy at school. But he's not wearing his wig anymore. So everybody's like, are you Lloyd? And he's like, what? No, I would never. Oh God. Okay, I guess. Yeah, it's really, really embarrassing. And so they put him on trial in girl court or whatever the fuck. And at the end of the episode, they're going to like blast him off out into space and fucking kill him for being a little cretin. And instead he gives like a big impassioned speech where he's like, you know what? I learned today that girls are people too, and we should respect their privacy. But he doesn't tell them that he had a camera feeding out to all of his other little boyfriends. The lesson that he learns in this episode is that you can just fucking lie and manipulate women by pretending to have feelings that you don't have. Gross. I didn't like it. In one line, he literally is just like, tonight, I think I came to respect you girls.
Cool.
I hate this show, but I love it.
I mean, that one line is literally the whole synopsis of the neither boy nor girl.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Fuck. First of all, I think that we should talk about what this episode does well. Because there aren't many things, but I think that it handles some things pretty well.
Yeah. What's the purple character's name?
Zoit.
Zoit?
Yeah, Z-O-Y-T.
Okay. Zoit, I love. That character, I wish the show was about Zoit.
Yeah, Zoit is
the fucking best.
Zoit is fucking great.
Everyone else sucks. Zoit is the best.
This episode is about a new kid comes to their space school. The character's name is Zoit, and they do not have a gender. Everybody is like, oh, that's a boy, that's a girl. And then they tell everybody, like, hey, I actually don't have a gender. I decide when I'm 13 what gender I want to be, and I'm 13 next week. And so it's about everybody trying to win Zoit over to their side. Zoit's a boy, Zoit's a girl.
Yeah, it's boys versus girls.
There's a lot of that in this show. It's a lot of, like, boys are dumb, girls are icky. And it's, like,
yeah,
embarrassing.
And this episode is the culmination of all of that, focused into one laser beam.
Well, so I will say, Zoit is a fucking badass. They do make a decision at the end of the episode where they're like, I did choose a gender.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna fucking tell any of you because you're the neediest, just most invasive, manipulative shitheads.
Yeah. Zoit being like at the end, like, I'm not gonna tell you because it's none of your business.
That fucking rules.
I was like, hell yeah. I feel like Zoit was written by, like, they brought in someone else to write Zoit and then wrote an episode around it.
Yeah, I mean, for 2003 to try and tackle gender issues in this way, especially in a show that is so gender normative and every episode is like, boys like trucks, girls like pretty ponies. And it's like,
yeah,
all right, shut the fuck up. Like, this episode, the way they handle that is like, Zoit likes trucks and pretty ponies.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, I guess in 2002, that's how they would have handled this. And it makes sense from a perspective of everybody else is a shithead and this character knows what they want and what they need from their life. And I liked that.
Yeah. If the episode mostly does, like, it's other characters reacting to Zoit.
Yeah, Zoit doesn't get any agency for themselves. We don't really know anything about them.
Yeah, you do watch Zoit for most of the episode, and you're just like, yo, this person rules. Zoit, yeah. Zoit fucking owns. And then the parts where this show is rough is literally, like, the whole conflict of the episode is built around the boys want Zoit to pick boy,
yeah.
The girls want Zoit to pick girl because then they win, and yeah. They have a bet.
They win a little on, bit, yeah.
Yeah, they have a bet where on the binary Zoit is going to fall. And
well,
that's the plot of the episode.
And what's really disgusting about it is it's like this entire decision is hinging on the rest of this character's life is based upon the decision that they make based on you pretending to be their friend, pretending to like to have
for
them around.
One day.
Yeah. And it's really, really gross. They are very manipulative. Like, you get the impression that, like, if Zoit did choose to be a girl, all the boys would not want to hang out with them anymore.
Yeah.
And if they did want to be a boy, all the girls would not want to hang out with them anymore. And if they did choose to be a boy and they still liked dresses or they still liked ponies or they still liked boy bands,
yeah,
the boys
would be a problem. Yeah.
Call them a fag and kick their butt.
Yeah.
Like, it's not great.
Which is why, like, I like how it ended.
Sort of. I do have an addendum to that, but go ahead.
Yes. I think I have the same addendum.
Yeah, where at the end of the episode, Zoit says to them, I've chosen a gender, and I'm not going to tell you. And then Eddie is like, oh, so we're never going to know if you're a boy or a girl? And then Zoit is like, well, you'll know when I get a crush on one of you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so this is a race who doesn't have a binary gender until they're 13, then they choose a gender, but they're still pretty gender fluid, but also all of them are straight? Question mark? Like,
yeah.
And then suddenly it becomes about the boys and the girls sexualizing this character, going from harassing them to now sexualizing them. And I'm like, hey, true to the trans experience, this show really has some weird insight where suddenly the people that kicked my ass in high school are like, what's up?
I feel like it's like, to me, there's a 0% chance that this was intentionally written to be about anything to do with the folly of a gender binary or like pigeonholing gender into the two things.
Right. This show is very gender binary pro.
Yeah. I think it was written from the perspective of we need a character that's different and their whole thing is that they're different and everyone's trying to understand them. And the moral is you accept people who are different for themselves. And with that, they bumped up against some good ideas, but because they don't know
what the fuck
they don't
they're
know
doing.
What they're yeah they like yeah. that's why Zoit being awesome is like astonishing because they didn't mean to do it well,
you know,
like the writers definitely didn't mean just based on how every other character was and the rest of the show, they didn't mean to write a kick-ass non-binary character.
One that stands the test of time 17, 18 years later. I mean, it's funny because they kind of bridge on some good ideas, too, with, like, the boys are stalking the girls while they're trying to ingratiate Zoid over to their side, right? So the boys are like, oh, what? Who would like cheesy, sappy movies? That sucks. And then one of the boys is like crying because they like the movie.
Yeah.
And then the boys are like, who would like shopping? That's stupid. And then one of them likes shopping. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so the show kind of is reinforcing that people don't have to be exactly to the right or left of the gender spectrum, but it's doing so in a way that's very stupid.
Yeah, it's doing it in a way that I feel like, unless you're already there mentally, will, like, it's too subtle, it will just read as a joke.
Yeah, sure.
Like it'll just read as, like, boys aren't supposed to cry at watching movies. Ah, they like the girly thing, lol. And, like, the boy things suck.
Burping contest, like, throwing rocks at a planet.
It's the throwing rocks to me was, like, there's a way to throw rocks that is fun. Throwing rocks, I think it was supposed to be, like, skipping stones, which I didn't get until Zoit, like, did it better than the rest, and it, like, went
right
around the planet.
Right.
But, like, literally, it was just, they just had a, is, they were throwing it as a planet, but, like, the analog would be, you go to a hill and you throw a rock at the hill. You're not aiming at anything. You just throw the rock at the hill.
Right.
And I'm like, what the?
Well, I think the one thing to get at with this episode, and it's not something that they thought about when they were making it, but it's something that's constantly reinforced in society, is, like, these gender norms imbued in people from a young age do hurt people. And especially
yeah.
queer people, but also straight cis men and women
yeah.
and trans people. Like, when I was starting to question my gender and I was like, hey, maybe I'm a girl, a lot of the things that I thought at that time, because I didn't know any other trans or queer people, I was like, well, the things that I like playing music and playing video games and watching, like, movies, like, my favorite movies are, like, RoboCop and Die Hard and Star Wars. Like, those aren't girl things. Like, that is something that was reinforced to me from a young age of, like, boys like metal music and girls like boy bands. And it
yeah.
wasn't ever, there wasn't, like, a show that really drove home the point that, like, girls can like video games. It's not an inherently male trait. Being funny is not a man thing.
The other episode I think of, because this seems like, if this show were more popular, more remembered, I feel like this would be a very, like, egg cracking episode.
I think it still is. I've certainly seen people make posts about this online before.
I've never heard anyone ever talk about this show.
So. Oh, really? Yeah, just this episode. That's the only one that I've seen people really reference, because
oh.
it does do an okay job for 2003 for a Disney Channel show.
But, like, when I think of, like, cartoons with real, like, egg crack episodes, I, of course, will always think of Fairly Odd Parents. The Tamantha
episode, that's right, yes.
Which was the most real shit to compare these two. I feel like that did a better job of, like, oh, girls can like boy stuff too. Like, that
right.
episode, I feel like, hit that point stronger and, like, less as a joke, like, more just, like, the lesson was, like, just because they're a girl, like, there's not this, you're imagining this rift between the genders, which is weird considering the person who made that show, but, like.
Right. It's interesting because we as a society and makers of content, especially in the context of, like, Disney and Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, the things that people were doing in the late 90s and early 2000s on children's animation were, like, as progressive as they are now. But nowadays, they brag about it, and they fucking brag about it and brag about it. And they're like, look,
yeah.
we've got a gay character, and this is important, and it's so important. And it's like, bro, I remember a fucking episode of Braceface where she had a gay friend that, like, that was 20
yeah.
years ago. And the message there was the same exact message you're telling us now. Like, stop
yeah.
sucking your own dicks because you put a queer character in a show. Just fucking do it and do it well and let queer people write it and shut the fuck up about it.
And, like, I know all the things about the showrunner sucking, but I don't know. I haven't seen that much of The Loud House, but no, I was going to talk about that Netflix show 12 Forever.
Right. It's weird that we were both thinking about shows that have queer characters with completely problematic creators.
Yeah.
Because Chris Savino is also a shithead.
And he's from my hometown. So now it's my goal to be a not shithead showrunner from Royal Oak.
Right. I've heard about the 12 Forever stuff, though. That's
yeah, that is crazy. But from my understanding, she was kicked off the production kind of early on. I wish there were more shows like that. Or the executive producer on that show, Shadi Potofsky, she had a show on Amazon a few years ago called Danger in Eggs.
I've heard it's good.
Which is also a super queer show, and Shadi is the fucking best. and like, it sucks that those are really the only two examples I can think of like really solid, like it's like,
well, are you talking about specifically that. Are you talking about specifically like trans representation or queerness? Because like Steven Universe and She-Ra.
I would say trans representation, because like it's just cozy. It's just right. Like refreshing.
Yeah, I've
it's
heard like that.
Because you watch most media as any kind of queer person, and there's always this like health bar ticker going down, like yeah. just like how right.
even stuff starring trans people a lot of the time, my health bar for like, I watched Assassination Nation, it's like yeah. at full the entire movie, I'm like, hey, great, this character's really great, suddenly hanging her off a tree, fuck you, I'm leaving, goodbye, like
yeah,
it's so easy to dive bomb your project.
Yeah,
I would say that Steven Universe does handle like trans allegorically stuff really, really well. Like that whole arc towards the end of the series is about misgendering and denial of identity and gaslighting by parent figures. And that was all really beautiful.
Whenever something tries to put in a queer character, but they're not, it's not written by gay people. It's not written by anybody in the LGBTQ like community. And right. there's like that psychic damage of watching it. Like, you can do it well. You just have to be smart about it. And that's like a lesson learned. Lloyd in Space was before that lesson was learned, which is why I think a lot of that stuff gets a pass. If this episode came out today, if neither Boy nor Girl came out today, I would, I think, have different feelings about a lot of it. I think I would be like more exhausted. But the fact this is a like early 2000s cartoon and they're talking about stuff like this, even unintentionally, and like not doing a terrible job.
Right. So here's how I see it, right? Is that a lot of trans characters that showed up in the early 2000s, especially on TV, because I'm not talking about like fucking Scary Movie or Ace Ventura or any of the horribly, horribly transphobic shit out there in the world.
Yeah.
The situations where it was handled the best and still not well, it's very much a trope, because the trans character would be like this character that shows up and they're like, hey, I demand respect. I'm a transgender woman. I'm a non-gendered person. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And then everybody else in the show treats them like shit.
Yeah.
And the show is like, see, it's good because everybody else is an idiot. So the joke is on them. And actually, trans people are noble. It's pretty disgusting in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that that's not the way they do it usually now, because back then it was just like the trans character themselves isn't a joke. It's a joke about everybody else. But the joke is constantly at the expense of that character anyway. So Zoit takes some fucking lumps here. Like, Zoit is a character who takes it all smiling, is always like, hey, fuck you, I don't care. But they also don't have any real friends, and they also are shit upon constantly, and people use them as a betting chip, don't really treat them like a, not a human being, but, you know, an alien being.
Yeah, Zoit has to put up with people constantly trying to cage them and, like,
be ply them with soda so they have to go pee and they can see what bathroom they go in. And it's like, this is fucking disgusting.
But then Zoit always has to keep, like, chin up kind of thing, because you can't get mad. You're the trans one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's like really disgusting, because you get the impression watching it, I don't know if you had this thought, but I did. Everyone in Zoit's species goes through the same thing. Everyone, before they're 13, doesn't have a gender. Everybody around them wants to enforce some gender stereotypes on them. They don't want it. They have to make the decision, and then everybody around them is like so fucking nitpicky about what they choose. And then even into adulthood, like there's a really a throwaway line that kind of fucked me up, because they go to visit Zoit's parents, and then Kurt is like, oh yeah, I talked to Zoid's dad. At least, I think she was his dad. And it's like, oh. So even into adulthood, this species is still constantly misgendered and shit upon, not treated like real characters with full autonomy. I hate that.
Yeah. But also watching it and like learning about like Zoid's people and stuff, when they were like, oh, you know, and then I'm 13 and then I pick, I was like, fuck. I wish that's how it worked.
Right. Yeah.
God, I wish that were me.
It's just weird as fuck that this series is full of characters that are like a little brain guy that walks around, or like a bug guy that his entire life is only 12 weeks or whatever, but that they run into a person with no gender and they're like, hey, fuck you, freak. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I can't understand gender neutral pronouns.
You got dinosaurs and unicorns on your notebook. I'm gonna kill you.
God.
That's the episode.
Yeah, and it just gives you the impression that these kids, hey, are probably homophobic and transphobic.
Yeah.
The heroes of our story. And it's like, yeah, what you were saying earlier really rings true for me. I would love to see a story about just about Zoit. That sounds great.
Yeah, because Zoit was also like a really good character in the like in the screen time, just reacting to stuff.
Yeah,
Zoit is outgoing and likable and good at things, and like I would think immediately a way more interesting lead character than a sociopath with his lead friends who think they are owed something by society.
Right. And also, it's strange to see all of these gender norms reinforced on a character who's never had them before. Zoit, as the episode goes on, is like, oh, I've never worn a dress before. I've never worn makeup or earrings, played pile-on, or done a burping contest, because they've lived a life like where they didn't need those things. And yeah, they seem to be enjoying it as it's happening in the episode, but it's like, to see people give somebody a crash course on gender norms sucks.
Yeah.
That shit sucks.
And another example of it being, like, they had to show Zoit as both, as, like, opposed to neither. Like, Zoit likes both kinds of music. Zoit has both signifiers of gender.
Right.
The times it's neither are, like, The unicycle and the bathroom. But it's like, I feel like that inconsistency, like if that were consistent, if it was consistently neither, and Zoit was like, I don't think about that stuff. I do it this way because I like it.
Yeah, the whole show is kind of stupid.
I don't know how to feel about that. That episode is so conflicting to think about. Because on the one hand, Zoit fucking rules.
Yeah, right. And they do get a lot of stuff right. Like we were talking about earlier, there's also a thing to it where like Zoit takes it all in the chin, takes it all smiling, and is like, you guys, we're still friends or whatever. But then at the end of the episode, the boys, after trying to make Zoit a boy the entire time, decide that Zoit should be a girl. And they go to Zoit and they're like, you were right. We shouldn't try and decide your gender. So we decided you're a girl.
Well, they decided that Zoit should be a girl because it was chivalrous to let the girls win.
Yeah, right.
I think that framing is important because it's worse.
Right. And they literally go up to Zoit and Zoit is like, hey, could you guys like fuck off? Like, I don't want to talk to you. And they're like, no, we're straight men. You have to listen to us.
Yeah, Zoit was like, oh, so you guys were just pushing gender stereotypes on me because you had a bet. Cool, I'm going to leave. And then they're like, no, wait, here's more gender stereotypes. And so it's like,
And it's a situation that's very resonant for me because Zoit has spent the entire time being like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's okay that you're treating me this way. It's fine. I just want, it's okay, let's move past it. And then at the end of the episode, after being pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, suddenly Zoit is like, hey, fuck off. Like, literally fuck off. Give me the chance to make this decision for myself. Everybody go stop and has to, like, freak out. And then they leave and everybody's like, well, that was weird. Man, Zoit freaked out on us. What's wrong with them? You know?
Yeah.
It's stupid. But I liked it.
Yeah.
What a show, Lloyd in Space.
what a journey from Confederacy prisoner of war camps to the first non-binary representation on a Disney show.
Wow. Omar, do you have anything else to say about Lloyd in Space?
The art's good. I like how it looks.
All right, sure.
I didn't expect it to look good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe like the echelon of stuff that you sometimes will review on this show.
Yeah. This isn't a Frozen Christmas Story 3 or whatever the fuck you find on Netflix. This is a
this
show.
This wasn't Teen Car.
Right. The character designs here are fun. Every episode they meet some new character that's like interesting and interesting to look at. Yeah. It's a fun show. I think that I would recommend this to people under the vein of like, hey, these characters are terrible. Know that going in, but like just enjoy that like they make a friend that's like a bug boy, or there's an entire episode where two characters stack themselves on top of each other's heads and just pretend to be one kid. Like, that's fun.
Well, I don't know if I could watch the whole show, because there's definitely a point in each of these episodes where I felt that it overstayed its welcome.
Yeah.
I was like, God, it's gotta end soon, right? And then there's always like a fifth act, and I'm like, God damn it.
It's around the middle where you expect the characters to be like, man, we've been real fucking shitheads, and then they don't do it. And they even sometimes get to the end of the episode, still don't realize what they did wrong.
Yeah.
And they learn a different lesson. And I'm like, hey, what about...
This wasn't the problem. I don't know why you thought you were wrong, but that's not it.
Omar, thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where can people find you online?
At Omar Romolino on Twitter, and everything else is linked to from there.
Great. And I'm on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. Thank you for listening to the Cynical Cartoons podcast for another week. And as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
You, did decide.
Oh, sure I decided.
And?
I decided I'm not telling.
What? But why not?
Because it's none of your business.
So we'll never find out if you're a boy or a girl?
Oh, you'll find out someday when I get a crush on one of you. See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.